Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 402. This is the bite-sized edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. Hopefully everybody out there is having a good week, a fantastic start to whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish this week. I know that we have a ton of stuff to do and work, and it's just... You get to that point on Sunday where you start to look ahead to the week and you can't get past Monday. You're just sitting there and you're looking at all the different things that are lined up on your roster, all the different things that have to get done and have to get done well, and it can be overwhelming. So it's, you know, it's going to be a one day at a time kind of week. Unfortunately, over the past week, or actually the past 2 weeks, it's been kind of a more exhausting than usual kind of situation in work, and it's just, for some reason, I have not been able to get the time to actually sit down and not only figure out the video editing programs that I'm trying to use, but actually get a product that I was proud of up and out the door. So the Croftcast is almost on hiatus, unfortunately, before it even really got underway. So we're going to be stepping back on that one, and I hopefully will have something up by Wednesday over at Croftcast.com. I know it's ridiculous at this point to have waited this long, but it's all workflow. After we get the first thing out the door, I'm pretty sure once I get a couple little episodes under my belt, it'll start moving just as quickly and easily as the Caffeination Podcast does, which you are currently listening to. This podcast is lovingly hosted over at www.caffination.com. That is caffeination.com, in case you couldn't figure that out. We have a great amount of stuff to talk to you about today. One of the reasons that we're calling this the bite-sized edition is we've changed how we do a lot of the back-channel content. Back-channel previously was the stuff that I would post over on Tumblr, caffeination.tumblr.com, and there's still going to be stuff posted there, but... After a discussion with a couple other webmasters and a couple of other different people, I came to realize that I was kind of fracturing the traffic that I really wanted to send to the Caffeination itself in regards to certain articles. I mean, I was posting some articles over on the Tumblr blog that were really, really cool and really should be linked up with the Caffeination, and some of them which were either not safe for work or off-color or off-base for what would normally be on the Caffeination. So we're going to be posting a lot more frequently on the actual Caffeination homepage. If you head on over there, you can actually follow the category back channel to see all the new and interesting stuff that comes up. It's going to be tiny little articles that come out a couple times a week. I'm not sure exactly how often, just whenever I find cool stuff that I would normally put to the other blog, which really does fit in with the Caffeination. There will still be stuff over at the Tumblr blog, just in case you were still following along. So all that off to the side. In case you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, you can either comment, you can become a friend of the Caffeination. If you click on the website, you can actually see a fun little icon that says sign into your Google account, your OpenID account, pretty much any kind of account that uses the OpenID situation. You can sign in with Google Friend Connect, and you can comment on the podcast and one any of the other articles that are actually up there, you know, relatively easily. It's a lot simpler to do. All right, let's see what we got going for you this week. There's going to be some neat stuff, so we're just going to get right on into it. The other reason this is going to be the bite-sized show is my brain is fried like you wouldn't believe. I don't know what happened. Today started off nice and easy, and it just ended all over the place and crazy. So before we get too much further, I did want to make mention of the fact that the Caffeination is proudly sponsored by GoToMeeting. Now is a good time to start changing habits and practices for the better. Think New Year's resolution, but one that's actually easy to keep. Use GoToMeeting to work smarter in 2010. Cut out unnecessary travel and delays. GoToMeeting allows you to save time and money by holding an unlimited number of meetings online instead of in person. Instead of ruining your other resolutions by eating airline food or grabbing lunch on the go, you can use GoToMeeting to conduct product demos, training, or large group meetings right from the comfort of everybody's desk. Stay productive, be efficient, and well-fed. Avoid the hassle of unnecessary travel by using GoToMeeting to make meeting easier. You too can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for a free 30-day trial. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of crazy and cool stuff. So we have a interesting amount of geek cruft and just a tiny little bit of food and caffeinated bits, then we will head you out on your way. I'm planning for a nice fun live show, so make sure you head back here at live.caffeination.com on Wednesday night, roughly around 11 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to be doing the the standard walkthrough. I'm going to hopefully have a bunch of really fun stuff to play around with at that point. All right, but we're going to dive right on into the Geek Cruft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. I am a closet paleontologist. I always wanted to be a paleontologist. I had to settle for going to school for archaeology and anthropology, and you know what? I loved that just as much. I have an incredibly soft spot in my heart for incredibly old fossils. I think they're just really cool, and I don't care where they fit into anything. It just seems like they need to be talked about. And this was a story from over at bornrich.org. One of the largest complete skeletons of a woolly mammoth ever is going on sale. So you too can own your very own mastodon. And just to give you an actual scale of the thing, this thing is an order of magnitude bigger than an actual elephant. It's completely mounted, it's set correctly, and apparently it's strong enough to hold a grown man sitting on a tusk. So in case you would like to open your very own dinosaur ride theme park, or you just want to have a giant skeleton laying around your house, the actual circumference of the tusk is 23 inches around, so it's like a well-manicured gentleman's bicep. I mean, these things are huge. The starting price for this is $500,000. So if you don't have that, you might not necessarily want to get in on the auction. I don't think there's a buy it now feature for a couple bucks, which is probably what I would be able to pay for it. But it's still really, really cool. So you can head on over to Born Rich and actually check this thing out. I mean, it's gorgeous, it's massive, it's awesome. And then staying within the fossilized bone department, Christie's Auction is auctioning off an 1872 skull ballot box imbued with secret confessions. Again, from over at bornrich.org. If you've ever heard of any of the secret societies that are out there, I'm not talking about the Masons, because they're not incredibly secret about what they do. They're out there, they're doing things, they're helping the community, it's all well and good. I'm talking about stuff like the Skull and Bone Society and all the other fun little things that people like to talk about. Everybody understands that the Skull and Bone Society is an actual society that does exist at Yale University. Well, they're actually auctioning off a real human skull that was used as a ballot box from 1872. So there's a hat flap cut in the actual top of the skull. They know whose skull it is. Which is the craziest part about it. It's Edward T. Owen. For some reason, I assume those are his femurs that are actually behind the skull and the traditional pirate, you know, skull and crossbones kind of deal. And for some reason, Thor is actually written on one of the femurs. The ends of the femurs are burnt. It also comes along with a fun little black book that's from the same period in time, a lot of different pictures and memorabilia. It's going to sell anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000, so a little bit less expensive than the mastodon. So if you're in the market for some sort of fossilized something, you might be able to get it. The cool thing about the manuscript that actually comes with it is it actually has a listing of the earliest members and their names and everything. So that's pretty cool. So hopefully, I'm pretty sure it's probably going to get bought up by some kind of private collector, and you're never going to see any of the information, but that's the kind of thing that you'd like to see. I mean, there are such illustrious members as both Bush presidents, John Kerry. I mean, there's a lot of relatively prominent people now who are members. So to find out who the original members were, who members were from back in that day, it would be kind of interesting. I mean, just as nothing more than a curiosity. So I just wanted to pass it along. Next little thing, talking from ballot boxes to unboxing one of the hottest items this year, the Google phone. Yes, the Nexus One by Google. There's a viral video that's out there with three toy ninjas doing stop motion animation to actually open up a Nexus One. I mean, I don't understand all of the Japanese text that's associated with it, but it is a beautiful and incredibly well done rendering of three ninjas basically attacking the box, knocking it over. At one point in time, one of the ninjas is using nunchucks, and he puts them away and pulls out the earbuds instead. The other ninja pulls out the charging cord and, you know, does a flying kick off to the wall and actually plugs it in, and then they end up fighting over the actual phone itself. So I thought it was really awesome and definitely wanted to pass it along. This is an example of the kind of fun stuff that you're going to find over in the back channel, so if you head on over there, you can check that out. That's actually posted at my website. All right, next little item we got for you here is a recycled bottle lamp. Now, I'm all for using things in ways that in which you wouldn't normally do it. So I like this idea. It's a container for you to save 6 bottles of your favorite brand of soda or beer or whatever it is. Make sure they're clean and dry, and then you insert them into the wire frame. So basically, there's a light bulb in the center of it, and the light colored bottles that circle around the light bulb actually act as diffusers. Because if you've ever had like a bare light bulb without the shade or anything, it's pretty rough on the eyes, and it casts a very harsh light around the room. So the only way to actually have a lamp that's useful is actually kind of degrade the amount of foot candles that are coming out of it. So you have to have some sort of diffused quality. So this allows you to use beer bottles or soda bottles or whatever it is. I think it's interesting. The only thing is that the configuration that they're in isn't very inspired. I'm not sure what I was looking for, but basically it's turning 6 bottles upside down and having them circle a light bulb in a hexagonal format. That's about it. I think it's interesting. I think it's cool, but unless you have some kind of story that you're going to try and tell with the different bottles that are hanging around. I mean, I collect beer bottles from the different brands of like crazy labeled and beer that I find around, but that wouldn't really work with this because a lot of those bottles are brown or green. So, I mean, it might be kind of fun in a stained glass sort of way, but not really an interesting and viable solution. So I thought it was cool, so I wanted to pass it along. Who knows, maybe somebody else might find a better use for it. It'll probably work relatively well with Corona bottles, but it's just the stand is actually $40, and it's right now on sale, so you can save $6 or 15%. So if you want to head on over to perpetualkid.com, that's where it's being sold. So I thought it was interesting and wanted to pass it along to the group. All right, next little item we got for you, again from over bornrich.com. They're actually talking about two interesting gadgets that are actually out or coming out. One of them is an Android-powered microwave, and the other one is an Android-powered washing machine. Well, now, I'm not necessarily talking about the article that they have up over there. What I'm talking about is the real power behind Android isn't necessarily that it's going to make incredibly beautiful phones or easy to use interfaces for that. That is powerful. But Android is not necessarily a competitor to the iPhone so much as it is a competitor to Windows Mobile. Windows Mobile or Windows CE is embedded in so many things that you don't even really understand it. Some of the printers that actually allow you to, you know, surf the internet or print different things out on some of them, they actually have Windows CE embedded in them. I mean, this embeddable Linux is another very popular thing. So the idea that that you can actually use the same operating system that's powering your phone and you have the same developers for it and have it power things as crazy as a microwave. I mean, we have very bad luck with microwaves in our house. So, I mean, pretty much every time we get a new one, it dies or something really weird goes wrong with it. It's not even like we use it like all the time, but right now we're dealing with one that only has like 2 of the bars for the green numbers that are actually working. You have to kind of either guess how much time's left on it or be really good at counting yourself. So I would hesitate to see exactly what an Android powered microwave and how it would survive in my room, but it'd be kind of funny because they actually show it playing music and stuff like that, so it would replace the clock radio in the kitchen and stuff like that. So I think it's pretty cool, so I wanted to make sure that people took an eyeball on it. I'm not really sure how that would necessarily work with the washing machine. Perhaps it's more in line for a notification feature, so you could have your washing machine kind of going, as provided you had the bandwidth on your wireless network. It could let you know if you were surfing Facebook upstairs, or it could give status updates on Twitter or whatever it is you really wanted to do with your washing machine. But it might also allow you to configure things from afar. So perhaps imagine you know, putting the dry clothes in the washer, but you don't want to have them sit there all day. So maybe you can have it scheduled so that it would actually fire off a wash cycle, you know, 45 minutes before you get home. You know, like that kind of like extemporaneous scheduling and that kind of like out of the box thinking, it'd be really cool to see actually end up in some of the appliances. I've already seen Android powered, I think, fridges and stoves and a programmable oven that you can set to start cooking like 45 minutes before you actually come home. So I'm thinking that same kind of technology might make it its way into other things, but there's something to be said for having like a dumb fridge. A fridge that doesn't necessarily know that, you know, you're running low on milk. It's nice to have, you know, the simplest gadgets around, because I don't really, when it comes time for all the robots to kind of rise up against us, I really would rather have my fridge on my side, but that's probably just me. All right, next little article we got for you coming over here from SlipperyBrick.com is a Game Boy that goes steampunk. Apparently somebody decided to try their hand at creating a steampunk fashioned Game Boy. Now, anybody who takes the time to do this and even do it like half right, I take my hat off to. But there's a certain, I don't know what it is about steampunk, but I expect the aesthetic to actually do a little bit more than this one currently does. It's basically like an antiqued gold finish, and then there's a bunch of sprockets and gears glued to it. There is a little bit of styling and some of the piping and things that are growing around the outside, but overall the actual case for the Game Boy itself seems to be relatively unmodified. I mean, if you take some of the accoutrements that are on the outside, it still has basically the same form factor. It still has basically a lot of the same things. Now, I'm not sure if that's something that's physically able to be changed, but it's almost but not quite a perfect example of steampunk. But it's just lacking just a little bit. All right, now next little thing that we have up for you here is 12 of the most realistic Lego sculptures. I mean, some of the beautiful architecture photography that actually coincides with them. So people have actually used Legos to create realistic buildings from New York, a realistic replica of a soccer stadium in Munich. They have a realistic replica of a Volvo. They have some of the more interesting ones that are a little bit more abstract. In the Statue of Liberty, Chuck Taylor All-Stars, and some pandas. But my favorites out of all of these have to be the soccer stadium and the buildings from New York, because they are actually, like, if you really didn't look closely, it would be hard to differentiate between those buildings and the ones that they're copied. So I just thought it was really cool and definitely wanted to pass it along, because it's the standard Lego thing that we do here at the Caffeination Podcast. So some of them are, of course, by the famed Lego artist Nathan Sawaya. So you had to pass them along. You have to tip your hat to the guy, because he really works in a medium that very few people have mastery of it, over of it, like he does. So this brings us to the next little Lego creation that we're going to talk about today, a Lego computer. Now, I know we've talked about Lego computers before, and previously they were Lego minis, or, you know, it was basically a Mac mini, you know, pulled out of its guts and then put into a kind of a cobbled together little Lego house. And I thought that was cool, but this is actually replacing a standard ATX or BTX case with, you know, like your standard tower case with all black Legos. And on one hand, it is a beautiful mirror finished creation. It's probably also incredibly useful, because there's little to no chance that you're going to have a grounding problem with this. One of the biggest problems with building your own computer case or building your own case and working with it is that you might accidentally ground part of the motherboard to anything else inside it, because you're working with metal most of the time. Since you're working with Legos, the only thing you really have to watch out for is the static electricity. Over large, shiny surfaces of plastic, it's usually pretty common to get a decent static shock going. So I didn't see anything in the design that I would actually have to deal with that. Maybe it wasn't really a problem. But the gentleman by the name of Luke has actually helped people out by putting a full set of plans. I mean, he's actually packaged everything up. He calls them the design documents and released them under a share-alike, non-commercial share-alike attribution from Creative Commons. It's 215 kilobytes. It's incredibly tiny. It actually has a full parts list, documents on how you can do this. So this is really cool. I like the fact that he used all black and that it seems to be an incredibly well put together creation. It just uses the back plane that comes with standard motherboards, has a fan hole, has all the kinds of stuff that you would expect to have in a standard tower computer. It's just awesome because it's made out of Legos. And then he went one further and actually replaced a regular router, a WRT54GL. Looks like it's a Netgear, or sorry, it's a Linksys, and he actually replaced that with all black Legos as well. Now, if he could find some way to have like a black Lego server rack, I mean, I think it would just completely complete the deal there. But the best part about all of his builds are that he actually has a video video, like a time-lapse video of him creating them. So I just wanted to pass it along because I thought they're unbelievable. Luke, you are doing fantastic work. It's unbelievable the kind of, you know, beautiful work that you're doing over there. All right, next little thing we got for you here is from over at SpriteStitch.com. It's a gentleman who has a lot of free time on his hand, has a huge crush on Super Mario Bros. 3, probably one of the best Nintendo games ever. He created a perler bead representation of the original start screen for Mario Super Mario Bros. 3. Now, here's the thing. He did it what appears to be 1-to-1 scale for the pixels. So this thing looks like it's almost 4 feet tall and maybe 5 feet wide. This is a massive perler construction. Now, if you're not unfamiliar for what a perler is, if you've ever seen those craft sets that they give out or that they sell for children, they're tiny little like diddleini or pasta-shaped plastic bits that you can kind of melt together and glue together as you go along. That's what this is. This is insane in the scale of it. So you can head on over to Sprite Stitch and actually see some of the beauty that's up there. All right, and the last little item we got for you here in the Geekcraft section of the Caffeination Podcast is the Boogie Board. It's an LCD tablet that allows you to doodle on it. Now, here's the fun thing. How much would you expect to pay for something like this? When I originally saw it, I was like, that's going to be like $100. This thing's only $30. There are some small limitations. For instance, after you doodle on it, you can save up to, I think it says you can save up to 30 drawings or something like that on there, but it's only $30. So this is for like standard one-off, you know, like you need to write it and just to either try and remember it, or you're trying to doodle something, or you're trying to illustrate a point. This is not to have and to hold. There's no way to offload your drawings. So that alone would kind of, I guess, hold this back, but the fact that it has an incredibly low cost of ownership, this means that this could definitely and easily replace a lot of the old-fashioned whiteboards that are out there. Unfortunately, they're sold out over at Amazon, so I just had to pass it along because I thought it was an unbelievable use of reflexive LCD technology. So you can really head on over to device.com to actually check that one out. All right, that about wraps it up here for the Geekcraft section. We have three tiny little articles in food and caffeinated bits, and then we will head you out on your way. I told you it was bite-sized episode. The ultimate joystick going on here first up in the caffeination, the caffeinated bits section is Atari chewing gum. It actually looks like a mini joystick, the iconic joystick with the you know, the black hexagon sticking straight up, the basalt column, if you will, and the bright red button along with the dotted circle going around it, except for the fact that you pop the top and you have chewing gum on the inside. So I thought it was pretty interesting. I'm not really sure exactly how many of these you would be able to keep around the house. Unfortunately, I can't find the actual price on it, but I just wanted to pass it along because I thought it was beautiful. Next little thing we have up for you here is from over at coffeehero.com. Mass has actually come up with a brilliant suggestion. I'm not sure if it originated with him or if he found it somewhere else, but in any of the utilities or Starbucks machines or whatever you have out there, the espresso machines that have reservoirs that are not necessarily easy to see exactly how much water you have in there, he suggests actually loading a couple ping pong balls, actually. So what you do is you throw the ping pong balls in, and they're a lot easier to spot and actually check the level on. I think this would work in most espresso machines, but not mine, because the reservoir is actually so small, and the viewfinder for the water is a little bit hard to eyeball. The only thing I found that really works is actually taking like a bright flashlight and shining at it, and you can see it right off the bat. But he actually used orange ping pong balls to eyeball the level. So when I eventually upgrade the espresso machine, that's definitely something I'm going to have to keep in mind. So thank you incredibly for sharing this one with the group. All right, and the last little thing that we got for you here at the Caffeination Podcast is called the Uninterrupted Pour. This is a set of champagne flutes that's actually a set of six champagne flutes, rather, that decrease in size ever so slowly, and each one of the top five actually has a tiny little pour spout. So what you do is you pour ever so slowly into the top one, and as long as you have them arranged correctly, they actually will dribble down into the next one, creating an even stream going all the way down. The only one that you're going to be, that you're you're not going to be guaranteed to have the exact correct level of champagne in is actually the last one. So you can overfill the last one, but I thought this was beautiful, and it's really kind of insane that you haven't seen something like this, but somebody's always going to get the short glass on this one. I thought it was relatively cool. It's probably going to be much more relegated to a party trick kind of thing, but it's still, it's one of those really interesting items that's out there. Unfortunately, it's $500. So if you want to spend that much on the champagne flutes, then I'm not sure how much your champagne is actually going to cost. I'm pretty sure this could probably be replicated in a much less expensive fashion. However, it is being sold from over at opulentitems.com. So anytime they use the word opulent to describe what they're doing, you're pretty much sure you're going to have to break out the checkbook and just not look as you're right. All right, that about wraps it up here for the Caffeination Podcast. Remember to check back at the back channel that's over at caffeination.com, and we're going to be posting a whole bunch of interesting stuff over there. There's already a couple little articles that we're going to be that have already posted over the past weekend. One talked a little bit about how caffeine affects your bloodstream. Another one talked about a beautiful sketchbook that is actually being sold. So we're not going to go over all those things on the podcast because I want to kind of create a little bit of a dichotomy. I mean, there's going to be things that are going to be out there. There's going to be things that are going to be on the podcast. So that way you're kind of forced to consume both types of media. So hopefully that goes off well. All right. Thank you ever so much for listening. This has been Caffeination episode number 402, the bite size edition, as we get in under 30 minutes. Thank you ever so much for listening. Just remember caffeination.com, www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com and caffeination@gmail.com for any comments, feedback, suggestion, or hate mail. Thank you ever so much, and stay caffeinated, people.